Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with your host, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Kristen Yoder. Kristen is a public speaker. She's been featured in Vanity Fair, Forbes, USA Today, The Young Turks, amongst others. She's the host of the Cannabis Detector podcast and been on countless podcasts at this point, and also the CEO of Soil to the Oil. It's an advisory company in the industry. So thanks for joining us today, Kristen.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, yeah, thanks. I'm super excited. I was telling you off air that BS detector, right? It's like I felt like when we first started, I was like, oh, Kristen Yoder would be great on, but you grow and then you realize, okay, cool, it's okay to not know everything. I admit all the time that Maynard Breslow doesn't know everything. In fact, I probably don't know that much, but it's amazing to have very talented and educated people on the show. And that's what we really try to do here. So today we're going to be talking about terpenes. We're going to be talking about kind of the history of the market and how it's been marrying with the regulatory market, legacy and regulatory. We're going to be talking a lot about maybe language and that whole concept of BS detector and also what you're doing as an advisor and helping people in the industry or maybe not even get into the industry. So, I always like to say, let's start off easy. Let's let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
Sure. So I am in the lovely Venice Beach, California, in Los Angeles.
Amazing. Venice.
Yes.
Amazing place. I'm sitting in Tel Aviv, but, obviously I'm born and raised in LA. So I think the market and the industry is pretty much well documented in LA. Obviously this is like the dream where people think, oh, LA, but they don't really always see kind of the bullshit, the BS that goes on underneath the surface, right? I mean, being in the Valley and seeing a dispensary 5-on-1.
Oh, the Valley is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm from the Valley. So seeing, 5 dispensaries and 3 of them are, legacy market, black market, call it what you will. And, 1 or 2 are regulatory trying to make it and, let's talk about that. How does this this kind of play out? Tell me first and foremost your history in the market a little bit in the industry. I know it's been well documented. Sure. I think it bears repeating for anybody who has.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got my doctor's recommendation for cannabis in 2005. And back then, there was a few dispensaries in West Hollywood, but that was about it. But there was a dispensary that had opened in Venice, which is considered the city of Los Angeles. I believe it was the first one in the city. And the first time I walked in, I was like nervous. And I came back to this room and I'm like, oh my God, it's like a dream. And the second time I went back, I'm like, hey, do you guys need help? And they did. And that was like the end of my hairdressing career. And so I was at the dispensary for 5 years. And just from 2005 to 2007, we went from the first dispensary to 1,000 dispensaries. It was nuts. They were everywhere. I mean, talk about the Valley. The Valley was like down Ventura Boulevard, like every other building. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because in the beginning, there was no weed maps or anything like that. And we never advertised because the owner was super paranoid of the cops. And it was all sick people. So it was truly medical cannabis back then. Yeah. And by 2007 is when you started getting younger people and more people that just like are more recreational users than medical. But again, because we never advertised, it was mostly medical. So I got to see it evolve, really quickly. So I was there for 5 years. And after 5 years, trying to play ball with the city there was a thing called the interim control ordinance. And there were the pre-ICO dispensaries, which everyone says they're pre-ICO. No one really knows what that means. But that's because the city was like, yo, there's too many dispensaries. Like, we have to put a control ordinance in and they were like, you can't be within 1,000 feet of all kinds of things, as schools, churches, rehabilitation centers. If your neighbors don't want you there, if you're near a dispensary, you have to send a letter to everyone giving them a number to complain at. And like, it was crazy. I had to register with the LAPD narcotic division as a dispensary manager and like give my fingerprints and register with the DOJ and like all these hoops. And then the city was like, never mind, we're going to do a lottery. And I burnt out. I was done. I was like, okay, like no more, dude. Like after having the same conversation for 5 years, like 80 people a day, it was just me and one other girl the whole time. So it was just too much. So I retreated and started learning how to grow cannabis indoor and outdoor. And I did that for a couple of years. And it was when I started working in a warehouse in North Hollywood. They kept bringing people into the grow, and it was just pests and mold, and it was like so much work. And then that's when I realized that growing is really hard. It's like a lot of labor. It's very laborious. I was not feeling it at all. Like it was not fun. So I reached out to my friend who owned one of the largest edible companies back then called Venice Cookie Company, and started off as supply chain management, and then quickly took over the product development and R&D, and then eventually operations. And while I was there, we had 70 products. We had 6 in R&D at all times. We were serving 1,000 dispensaries in California. And I also helped them start a recreational edible company in Washington called Evergreen Herbal. Granted, like I am a hairdresser with a GED. So like I had never even sat at a desk, and all of a sudden I'm doing inventory, and I didn't even know what supply chain management was until I had to be the one like ordering all of the packaging. And like, I mean, I took over operations because I'm like, hey, I'm already working with the kitchen, working with the labs, like working with all of these different things. It was amazing. I had so much fun, and I don't think that I would have that opportunity now in a regulated market because I'm a hairdresser with a GED. So it's like, everything I've learned, I call it baptism by the fire, because I literally like just got thrown into it and had to figure it out. Like, thank God for the internet, seriously. So I was there for 3 years, and then they got raided, and then they got raided again. Classic. And then there was no operations. Yeah, right. I mean, while I was at the dispensary, it got raided by the DEA. Mm-hmm. So luckily I wasn't at the edible company when they got raided. But I didn't have a job there anymore. So then I reached out to the lab owner who I worked with, Dr. Jeffrey Raber. And I used his lab for extract testing and also with product development. And it was then in 2016 that I learned that indica sativa hybrid is totally bullshit and that it's the terpenes and the cannabinoids. And I was just like, oh my God, dude, like I misled people for 5 years. I fully believed it. Like I would make the signs at the dispensary. I would look at weed and be like, 60-40 indica dominant. Like, mm-hmm. Come on, dude, who knows? Like, who knows? I was just making shit up based on what the leaves look like. There was no science behind it whatsoever. But people felt whatever I told them because it's placebo effect. And I mean, that made me, it took me like a month. It's like losing your religion. I mean, I swear people will like get into a fight, like a physical fight with you. They believe it so much. Like, yeah, but sativa's always give me a headache. Like, nah, bro, I'm telling you, it's not what it is. So I quit doing that and I became a strategic advisor, and I focused on entrepreneurs and the idea stage, because that's when I can help you. That's when I can save you from making costly mistakes, because after a while, there's something called the sunk cost fallacy. And it's where you sunk so much money into something that you just can't give it up. You're like, dude, I've gone this far. And that's a bad idea, because that doesn't, I mean, sometimes you got to cut your losses, yo.
And in poker, so, they call it being pot committed, you know? It's like, I already spent enough. Might as well just go all in, you know? Like,
exactly. And that never turns out good. So so in 2017 or 2018, Well, 2017, everyone voted yes on Prop 64, which is really stupid. And that's the legalization bill in California. And that's when I quit working with cannabis companies because regulation is super boring. Like, it's needed, but I'm not interested in that. That's not why I got into it. I got into it because I grew up watching Half Baked and Dazed and Confused. And like, I was a stoner, not a medical user. So, so I thought there are two ways to go. I can either teach cannabis companies how to act like businesses, which like, good luck with that. Or you can teach businesses how to work with cannabis, cannabis companies. So I work with ancillary companies, investors, et cetera. But also it's when I put in my LinkedIn profile, veteran BS detector, and then it just kind of stuck. People are like, oh, I love that. And then I just kind of adopted it because my bullshit detector is not just cannabis. It's everything, but especially cannabis, because I've, from soil to the oil, I've run operations in every sector and I know how it works. You know, I like to say you can't spell cannabis without the BS. It's just a part of it. So I wanted to like help people not get screwed over because I've been screwed over many, many times. Everyone I know has. So I created my podcast, The Cannabis Detector, to like start outlining stuff because I feel like we can't fix things that nobody knows about. So I wanted to shine a light on the dark parts so that we can like do something about it. But everyone kept telling me like, you're too early to the game. You're too early. I'm like, then catch up. Like, come on, dude. Like,
what do they mean by that?
Because everyone was so new to the industry. It was like this new sparkly thing. Everyone's leaving their careers to get into cannabis because it's so fun and it's so cool. And I'm like, yo, it's not fun. It's not cool. You're going to take a pay cut. Like, these people are sociopaths. Like, and people just didn't get it. And when last year hit, I just hit a wall. I was just burnt out. Being a BS detector is like really fucking depressing. Like, it's not, it doesn't make me feel good. I don't enjoy the negativity. And if I'm going to continue in the industry, then I need to be a part of the solution. And to me, that's through classes, like teaching classes. So I don't just teach terpenes. I teach critical thinking and bullshit detection with my terpene class. Because in the end, what we know about terpenes and all the studies and all of the medical things, most of them are not about like lighting it and smoking it. Like, there's no studies that really go into that. That's still pretty unknown. Not to mention there are like upwards of 100 terpenes in one strain, plus cannabinoids, plus your genetics, plus all environmental things. Like, there's so many different things. So it's like, I'll teach you about the terpenes, but really in the end, all that matters is that you pay attention to how it makes you feel. And if you don't believe what they're selling you, then maybe you can figure out what actually works for you. But the only true way is by using your nose. Like, recognize, I like this smell. This smells good. Does this feel good? That's why I'm just trying to wake people up. Like, everything you see, everything that's labeled indica sativa hybrid is bullshit. Like, it's irrelevant. And I challenge people to give your friends some money and have them go buy something. And then take it out of the packaging and then have you sample it. And then you say, how does it make you feel? And then look at the packaging without the influence. See how it makes you feel. Like, because cannabis, I mean, when people walked into a dispensary, they're like a blank slate. They'll believe whatever you tell them because they don't know any better. So what does it actually do? And how do you replicate the same thing when you go somewhere else, especially if they're not even labeling things correct, you know?
No, definitely. I mean, there's so much there to unpack and so much.
That's, I know. Sorry. I'm
no, like, it's amazing. No, I love it. No, it's so great. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? I mean, talking about you know, people coming in and they don't know anything, right? And that's where kind of maybe we were 15, 18 years ago, right? Where we didn't know anything. We were taught this, and it's at the end of the day for them, maybe it was branding, marketing without them even knowing it, right? In a certain way. Okay, simplicity, sativa, indica, Now we have more research, it's more science-based. We can see what's actually going on, right? But unfortunately, like you were saying, the game is usually slow to catch on. You know, you're ahead of the game. You were talking about things that now 2 years later, 5 years later, the industry is saying, oh yeah, that's right. Like Kristen was talking about this shit like a while ago, you know,
yeah.
But like how, you know, and it's good that like you're out there, you're educating, right. And being able to do this. But I think sometimes people, they don't know what they don't know yet. Right. So it's like, people don't know that they need education on it. They're just going to take someone's word for it right off the bat, because, you know, honestly, you know, we're talking about the legacy market and how it's been coming out. Like, just like you, after a year, you know, going through a rough patch, right. You come in, you're looking up again and saying, holy shit, like the industry's changed a little bit. Right. And the same thing with like, the legacy market, right. Come and been underground for so long, you know, almost 100 years of prohibition, and coming up and saying like, holy shit, like this whole thing is so different, right? So how, I guess my question is, there's a whole new group of people coming in who are susceptible to manipulation and not knowing, and they don't know how to detect BS, and you're all doing a good job of teaching, right? But, you know, having that vision a couple years ago, in the future, how do you see people becoming educated? Do you see that people will catch on to the bullshit that's going on and become, you know, get hip with the proper vocabulary, terms and everything like that, and the knowledge? Or do you see that it's kind of like kind of stuck in this way, you know, and people are just kind of like moving still completely with that?
3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff. We at Calican are passionate about cannabis and CBD marketing, branding, SEO content, and web design. If you are a cannabis owner and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
I think that we have the internet, and that's huge. Like, there was no Leafly or Labs or anything back in my day. So now we have lab testing. That's freaking essential. It's like comprehensive lab testing. The thing is I can teach consumers, I can teach them everything in the world, but when they go to a dispensary and the bud tender doesn't know anything and the brands are all labeled indica sativa hybrid, then what? It's like, okay, well, I just learned a bunch of stuff that does not correlate with my experience whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, A, I'm trying to teach people the right questions to ask, mm-hmm. because just like we didn't always have organic food at the grocery store, people had to ask for it. You know, consumers need to start demanding from these companies, what are the terpenes? Do you have comprehensive lab testing? Without the consumers pushing it, the consumers, like I said, it took me like a month. It was like losing my religion to switch over from indica sativa's bullshit. It's going to take reinforcement from consumers asking brands, because in the end, it's on the brands. The brands have to do it. The brands are the ones advertising, or they come in and they teach the bud tenders about their product, but they're not right. So it's like, it has to start from the top. But the thing is these companies aren't run by cannabis people, or they hire alcohol people. This is where legacy people, I know so many cannabis people that are not getting hired in the industry by especially the big companies, because the big companies are looking for people from the CPG industry or from alcohol or tobacco or pharmaceutical. And it's like, yo, dude, like you're capitalizing on a plant that we got arrested for. Like we went to jail for. People are still in jail for it. And these people think that they can take their knowledge from another completely different industry and they know better than us and they're going to show us what's up. And it's like, that's the problem. Like maybe you should humble yourself when you come into this industry. You would do a lot better to humble yourself because it's not like any other industry. And although it's a consumer packaged good, and the packaging is really pretty and it's sold in a retail store, there's so much more to cannabis. There's the religious aspects, there's medical, there's recreational, there's cultural. It's like, it's insane. There's just so many different ways to go with it. And I just keep seeing people kind of trying to like whitewash the industry.
The whole thing is this, is that, right? I mean, we all agree, we see it coming in. And they've that's why, you know, you're talking about what a shame it was when cannabis was legalized in California, right? I mean, I remember like that day. I remember like January 1st, 2017, you know, and I've had my card since 2005, right? But it was just so different, you know, it just became so different in that regard. But, you know, now we're at this place now, right, where we've butted heads, we're not seeing eye to eye, right? There are people, like you said, who are tired of the bullshit. They're tired of the way that we were running this shit before anyways, right? Like you were saying, like, you know, a lot of shady shit was going on way before, you know, it became legal. There was a lot of shit that was going on, you know, and
just, and it's still going on.
And of course, that's my point, you know, and mm-hmm. at the same time now we have people coming in who don't respect the plan, don't respect the culture, don't care about anything. And of course, like, marketing is a thing. Branding is a thing. You know, you have to, and you know, the plant sells itself, but it's, as you can see with you know, the market changes a lot, you know, from week to week, month to month, you know, prices go up and down. You know, growers, they're some month they're like, holy shit, a pack is that much. And then the next month they're like, oh shit, we're killing it. You know? So the whole thing's changing. So where do we come in, especially with someone like you, right? Where you're like, I'm tired of the bullshit. Like, you know, and I'm not going to be plant facing anymore. And you know, and I think you're not the only one that feels like that. You know, it's a matter of bringing the right people. And it's a common question. You know, I ask people sometimes, it's like, what's better, you know, business cannabis or the business person, cannabis person who's a business person, you know, all these other things. But I guess, is there a place where we're actually going to be able to, yeah, that's the answer.
People, look, cannabis people are not business people. We're not. Growers, I mean, my God, my heart grows out to the growers. Same with social equity. You want to take someone who's got like previous jail time and like had their entire life fucked by the drug war, and then you want to give them like one of the most overly regulated businesses in the world, and you expect them to succeed. What happens is investors come in and they're like, hey, we need a token social equity applicant. Yeah. We'll pay you $5,000. Stay the fuck out of it. But we're going to put your name on the license.
Yeah. You get to own it, so to speak, but you don't get to do anything. You know?
But you don't really own it. Yeah. And we're going to buy you out. So, it's, you know, it's like I see mergers and acquisitions. That's what I see, just like in Canada. But it was very heartening. I mean, it sucks for all the people that lost jobs, but welcome to the cannabis industry. These are not financial businesses. They're cannabis businesses. They built these huge grows that like never came on. They were so fraudulent and they sank, which makes me think that maybe these guys might have all the money in the world, but they're not going to succeed because they don't know cannabis. That they're the ones on CNN hyping up the industry. They're the one like Jim Cramer, like, oh, bye, like all this. It's such bullshit. Like, fuck the MSOs, which is my third thing that I'm really like passionate about. Do not vote for legalization if it does not include home grow. And I think everyone should grow at home and stop giving your money to the industry. Like, fuck those guys. Grow it and sell it to your friends, dude.
We got some nice babies over here, you know, and
yeah, I do too.
Like, and everything going on, you know.
It's like so therapeutic and amazing and magical. Every little freaking leaf is so cool. It's like there is a plus to a regulated market, and that we have consumer safety, because there is all kinds of gnarly pesticides that are used in black market grows. But at the same time, like, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's so much more complex.
Oh, yeah.
I think it should be treated, fuck legalization. Decriminalize it. Decriminalize it. Should not be a crime in the first place. Like, people don't realize, you know what Prop 64 did to California? It made 2/3 of our state black market, straight up, because they won't even regulate it. So people are still getting arrested.
I spend the money and the taxes when I can just be doing it anyways, you know?
I mean, if you even have the option. I know so many growers, like in Calaveras County, they voted for Prop 64 because, bro, no one wants to be dodging helicopters. Like, that shit's stressful. No one wants to deal with that.
They'll come and take a million out of your house, and you're safe with the guns and all your products, and leave you with nothing. Even today, you know.
Yeah, it's so scary, you know. So people voted for Prop 64, thinking that finally, well, we want to submit. We're totally down to like play by the rules. Like, just give us the rules. And then in Calaveras County specifically, which I think is like the epitome of bullshit, is like, they had 3 board of supervisors step down and 3 stepped up. And those 3 ended up creating a majority who said, you know what? Never mind. We're going to ban cannabis. So all the people that we permitted with the tax money, that we have your blueprints and all of your information, we're going to take that money and we're going to raid you. Because there's no difference from black market and illegal grow, which is nuts. That's insane. So they ended up taking the money that they earned from the legal grows and raiding them and shutting them down and destroying people's lives. Like, people kill themselves because they had everything taken from them. And I don't think regulars have any idea that they have blood on their hands. Like, if you are going to legalize, it has to be blanket adoption. Every motherfucking county everywhere has to regulate it. Otherwise, you're just allowing an illicit market. And then you're just spending money on busting something you could have regulated and taxed, but you can't stop it. Like, it's already there. We had a flourishing market before Prop 64. It's just frustrating because all the tax money, like in Colorado, it goes towards schools and healthcare. In California, all of it goes towards enforcement, all of it, except 2/3 of the state uses that enforcement, but they don't put any money into it. So whose money? The fucking general fund. So the entire state is voted for legal cannabis, yet we're paying taxes for them to raid cannabis growers that didn't have an option to be legal in the first place. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's what national legalization will look like. A bunch of states saying, states' rights, we're not going to do it, like, not allowed. And people are still going to go to jail. So it shouldn't be a crime. It shouldn't be considered a drug, and it should be regulated like a fucking tomato. You know what? Like, I want to see pesticide testing and I want to see fair labeling, but I want it to be open for everyone to have an opportunity to actually get a license in the first place. Now, Los Angeles, bro, these people have been waiting 20 fucking years for a license. I mean, then they added in social equity and they're like, okay, well, cool. You guys have been trying for 20 years, but these people are first. And then it's like, okay, now you just pit everybody against each other. And still was like 3 years since Prop 64. And they've only given out like 200 licenses. Still, like 20 years later. And now we're hearing all of these pay to play corruption.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, of those licenses, a lot of times it's like, hey, yo, I heard you can get this done. Here's 10K. Can you pass
it's
my
all pay to play
along? You know?
So you can't even succeed if you don't have the money. So then people are like seeking out investors. And then that's how these shady finance people come in. Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like,
But that's how much it costs everywhere. They've made the regulations to be like that. It's not that the system's broken. That's how the system was made. Same thing with the war on drugs. All this stuff is always about keeping people down and making sure that our pockets are lined the whole time. So,
and you know who's doing that? Fucking lobbyists. And you know who are lobbyists? The NCIA. You know, all these companies pay $1,000 dues every year. You know what? They are not lobbying for the best interest of small cannabis businesses. None of them are, dude. They're out there lobbying for stricter regulations. Like, it's insane. It's just crazy because if we see national legalization, that means that big pharma, tobacco, alcohol, they got their way and they are set because they're already flush. They have distribution. They're already used to lobbying. They're already used to having a highly regulated industry, and it will be impossible for mom and pops Yeah. And that's the point. Like, that's why they do it. And it sucks. We have to be more aware. Otherwise, it'll be too late.
Well, that's I think what's happened a lot is that people just become excited and they think, oh, wow, it's going to be great. And that's how you're able to pass it in. You know, that's how you can pass everything is you, if you make something bad before for somebody, you know, then if, then you can make anything a little bit better or, you know, parade it around when you're sneaking in all this stuff, you know, in the small print. Right. And that's how we've gotten in the situation, you know, but I think at the end of the day, you know, we've seen in practice, like we've been saying, a lot of these businesses have been failing, you know, pretty famously. And, you know, it's become well noted and everything. And it's just a matter of, you know, this plant is a conscious plant, you know, not to get too out there, everything, but there's, you know, there's something going on here. It's like the claw, right? The claw chooses who stays and who goes, but seriously, it's like, you know, this, the plant is choosing who stays and who goes, you know, we're seeing.
I really hope so, dude. Some people just aren't cut out for it, you know, which is like when you mentioned as a strategic advisor, I talk most people out of it because they have no idea what they're getting into.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it sucks. It's a runaway train, right? You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, you know. But you know, we're seeing, you know, in practice how things are, I guess, are kind of going, which is pretty shitty. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm grateful this plant. You know, there are still things that the plant, in its in and of itself, you know, the industry aside and everything like this, you know, so. In terms of the plan itself, you know, I think there's so much education that's going on. Actually, before I ask that, you know, I do want to know, you know, as an advisor, you know, you've had, I want to know a couple of things, you know, you've had experience in all parts, obviously, of the industry, you know, and now you're talking not plant facing anymore, ancillary. Is there any part that's been less painful, like the least painful part of the industry in terms of plant facing? Also, are there people that you're like, you know what, you are a good candidate. You actually should be in the industry. You actually, you're the kind of person that we need more of. Have you encountered people like that? And
The first thing I ask people, give me a ratio of your profit drive and your passion drive. Like, are you more in it for the profit or more in it for the passion? Because if you're in it for the profit, I don't want to work with you. Because that's not sustainable, dude. You got to have passion because it's a fucking marathon.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many road bumps that if you don't have passion, it's not worth it at all. So there are people who have found good investors that have raised good capital, that have a good head on them, that when I outline all the things they're up against and they're like, motherfucker, bring it. I'm like, all right, I'll let me pass you on to people that will help you succeed. Like,
amazing.
I'm like the viability analysis. I'm the bullshit detector.
No, I think that's even better. I mean,
and then I'll pass you on, you know?
You brand yourself as a BS detector, which is great. I think we need that. But also you should be like the, you know, hooking good people up together person, you know, it's like, oh, you're fucking, oh, I smelled them. You passed the BS detector test. Well, so did they. And you guys are fucking perfect fit.
I
have a great investor for you. You know, actually I have a great team for you. You know, these guys are great. They're doing amazing stuff. And you know, and you hook them all up, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. I'll have like 10 calls and like three or four people, I'm like, oh my God, I just talked to someone you should totally talk to. And it's like connecting people. Like, yeah, I mean, I definitely have a solid network. For anyone wanting to get into the cannabis industry, your network is everything.
Yeah.
And you only get it by talking to people. Like I've had thousands of calls that went nowhere, but I got to know tons of cool people, you know? And like, hey, if you're afraid to talk to me, you're not cut out for this. You know, we don't want you because you're full of shit, probably. And I like the people that are like, bullshit detect me. Like, I got nothing to hide. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, I like that. Trying to do better, you know? So, yeah, like, there are still lots of people. The key is you got to have money, period. Mm-hmm. That's it. Like, capital is the most important thing. I mean, plus passion, but if you don't have the money, you can't do it, dude. Like, you have to have the money and you have to have the right partners.
Yeah.
So I care about how it's going, because look, when there's low morale in a company, something is not right. And that's a bad investment. And investors don't even look into that. It's like, it's crazy. There's just not enough due diligence. You know, but I mean, of all the sectors I see losing the most, it's cultivation, which is a fucking shame, because A, there is no industry without the plant. Hello, duh. And B, dude, these guys are the heart and soul, like, but they're at the bottom of the supply chain. So they just get stepped on. They have like the most regulations and they get the least amount of money and they pay out the ass on permitting and all these different taxes. It really doesn't pay very well. And they end up like not succeeding, especially the super big grows. Those are horrible investments.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, luckily, you know, and I think you hit that, obviously, you know, but you hit the nail on the head, you know, in terms of the profits. You know, I was just talking to Meg Sanders. She's started off in Colorado. She's over in Massachusetts. Amazing, amazing woman doing great things. And she was like, listen, being in this industry, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, like being in the industry in general, you know? And she's like, you know, if you have 9% if you have 9% profits, you are killing it. You know what I mean? It's like, you need to just be happy with that and keep it going, you know, because it's just like, people are just like have huge expectations. And that's what happened to cultivation too. You know, and that's why people, you know, are committing suicide.
And if you try to be cheap in the beginning, then you're going to pay so much more. It's like, dude, you need to be serious and invest in good quality everything so that you can actually succeed. Because especially with cultivation, once you start, my God, it's expensive to fix.
Oh my gosh. You know, there's so much good and bad in the industry, right? But something that we know for sure, right, that's coming out more, like we were talking about at the beginning, I do want to talk about it, you know, a little bit here, is, you know, the terpenes, you know, because this is something that is, I think, getting more pub now. People are becoming aware of this now, whereas, like you were saying, I remember, like, you know, you go into I remember my first dispensary walking in, right? And right there, you have the board, you have the three boards, the three big boards, you know, the sativa, the hybrid, and the indica, like you were saying, right? But now it's so much more. We just had Len May on. He does DNA. You're talking about also genetics, right? You know, he does his DNA. Shout out to Len May. And he was talking about, you know, yeah, of course, it's going to be down to the terpenes and how, you know, they react with you and how your individual genetics are going to do and how, you know, what you're kind of looking for. It's so individual. Yeah.
So like brands complain that it's too complex. It's too complex. And I get it, dude. It's chemistry. It's like way over my head, but let's break it down like this. Does it smell sweet? Does it smell spicy? Does it smell woody? Like, let's come up with like 5 scent categories. Because in the end, like, look, I can have you smell an isolated terpene. You are not going to smell that when you smell weed. Not at all. Because there's other things. There's esters and thiols and flavonoids and all these other things that we don't even know about. Like, so in the end, you can look at, I mean, this is another thing I teach in my class. You can look at the terpene test results, but guess what? Like, all the labs will give you different results. So it's like,
why is that?
Because there's no fucking standard that all labs follow. And it's like, you're looking at peaks. So if you don't have someone educated well enough or whatever, if your machine is not sensitive enough, or if it's not calibrated correctly, you can get different results. That's why, I mean, there's so many labs that lie for potency. It's like, you can't even trust that. In the end, truly, the only thing you can trust is yourself, because it just matters how it makes you feel, which is why I say, like, instead of just buying things and smoking it and then like not paying attention, like, smell it, write it down, and pay attention to how it makes you feel, because your nose knows more than you know. And I mean, for people that want to get into the industry, be the change you want to see. Stop continuing the bullshit. And then I won't call you out, you know?
Well, amazing. I mean, I think, you know, even more so than, educate people coming in. And that's why I love that you advise people who are coming into the industry and who are in the idea stage, right? And kind of see, okay, cool, like you got the right thing, you guys should really go for it. And then from there, I mean, it's kind of like that grassroots thing, right? You know, more companies doing that. And the thing that happens, I think, is that, you know, whether or not people know it or not, we're seeing a lot of loyalty actually in terms of, you know, the brands, brand loyalty that's coming up, you know, or dispensaries or strain, you know, cultivars, everything that happens, you know. So when somebody sees, oh yeah, I went to this dispensary and it was pretty shitty and like whatever. And then you go into a place and like, oh my gosh, these guys are really good. Or you try something and you get, I think the more companies that have that, the terpenes on there and like, well, like you were saying, well, why don't you, they're going to go in and ask, you know, and be like, well, I mean, these dudes up the street do, you know, why don't you have, or this packaging does, why doesn't this other one, you know,
like,
and automatically gravitate to that. I think money does talk, like you were saying, like we vote with our dollar. And at the end of the day, people aren't going to do it because it's altruistic and because they love to do it and they want to see people happy and want to have the best information, because holy shit, that brand, why have our margins gone down so much? That brand is killing it. What are they doing? We're not doing. Oh my gosh, they're talking about, you know, terpenes and the combinations and what, you know, as opposed to this little thing and how it's going to make you feel and trying to name it like that, when actually it wasn't like that at Me For All. I was actually able to make a better educated decision at the dispensary. I didn't need the bud tender to tell me, because I was able to go in there and tell them, actually, I'm looking for something with this, 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 and this, you know, and being able to do that in the long term. Right. So, I mean, it's really is going to take people like you, but also, you know, also probably one of those brands that you advise, you know, brand that is really doing it like that. And people just getting with it, you know, getting with it. For sure.
I mean, I was shocked when I went into the Jungle Boys. These dudes are all about cultivation, all about their plants. Their butt tenders are so dumb. They don't know shit. They're just pretty girls. Guess what? When I was a butt tender, I had to wear a dress or a skirt every day. Like, it was so annoying. It's like, why don't you educate them? Like, why doesn't brands like fucking Cookies, like Burner, come on, bro. Like, put the fucking terpenes on there. Like, why are these big brands of these people who are supposedly cannabis people fucking indica sativa hybrid? Like, come on. Like, I just want to see people demand more.
Yeah.
Because the more we demand, the more we get.
Definitely. You know? Do you, but tenders, you think there's going to be like, you know, we hate regulation and all that stuff, but you think it's going to be something that needs to be a little bit more standardized, right? I mean,
it has to be. I mean,
people, you can't just like start slanging anything, you know, in terms of, you know, and then not have some sort of training. You know, you can't even go drive a car. You're a hairdresser. You know how many hours go into being a hairdresser.
Yeah, it takes more hours to cut hair than be a police officer.
Exactly.
I just feel like with bud tenders, the thing is dispensary owners are some of the most garbage people I have ever fucking met in my life, because they're like glorified drug dealers.
I mean, it kind of attracted them at the beginning, right?
They were glorified dealers, bro, in the beginning.
Yeah.
But they don't invest in their bud tenders at all, because everyone wants to be a bartender. So if you don't get with it, then they'll just hire someone else. There's always someone that's willing to work for less to take that job. And so they're not inspired, you know, which is why I quit working with cannabis companies. It's like, I'm tired of talking to a wall. Like, let me talk to some people I can influence, because these people think they know everything or they don't invest in their workforce, you know? But like, man, when you have a conversation with a smart bartender that like knows what they're talking about, it's amazing. It's like, holy shit, dude, I learned so much today. Like,
that's what builds loyalty. I mean, honestly, if they were smart and if they're actually business people, they would understand, you know what? Like, these are my front line people. Like, they are the people interfacing with our customers who are coming here and dropping their money here day after day.
I think that's where humility and humbleness comes in.
Exactly.
It's to say, yo, maybe there is a way to do something better. Continuous improvement should always be a part of a company. Continually improving. You cannot lose if you only try to get better and listen to people. Yeah.
Changing gears, we wind down here, you know, how do you define success, you know, whether it be professionally, personally, spiritually? I ask everybody this question. I love hearing, you know, excited to hear what you have to say. You know, what does success look like for you?
Success is waking up every day, like excited to keep going. It's sleeping well at night, and not having anxiety about if you made the right decision, or is your partner screwing you over, or, you know, did you invest in the right companies, or any of that. It's knowing that you're doing the best that you can. And I mean, being able to pay your bills, obviously, and being able to look back and not regret the things that you've done.
100%. You know, we all in these vessels and whatever else, and you can see people who have towards the end of their life, and some of them so happy and some of them feel regret, and we can never get these kind of days back. Right. So, you know, we talk about, exactly, you know, a lot of the bullshit that happens, but at the end of the day, even them to themselves, you know, going to hold themselves accountable, you know, and at least people who aren't sociopathic and stuff like that, you know? So
yeah,
I love that, you know, definitely, you know, being peace of mind, serenity, being able to live with yourself. And, you know, unfortunately, we see that people let that go. And but at the end of the day, like you said, we all got to live with ourselves and our decisions. So as we close, you know, how can listeners find out more about you, what you're doing, you know, find out more about advising and everything, and getting the right people into the industry?
You can go to my website, soiltotheoil.com, and like a little pop-up will come up, and you can sign up for my newsletter that I've actually failed to create thus far, but eventually I totally will make a newsletter. But there's, there's a contact form at the bottom too, and you can reach out to me.
Cool.
And follow me on LinkedIn. I fucking loathe Facebook. So don't connect with me there. Instagram is kind of where I post like shit talking memes. So for business stuff, go on LinkedIn. And then you can look at my podcast, The Cannabis Detector. I haven't released any episodes for a while because I was burnt out, but I have some really good ones that I've been sitting on for like a year that I am going to release. And every episode that I've done is still just as relevant today as it was when I recorded it, because things don't change that quickly. So yeah, reach out to me.
Definitely. Everybody check out Kristen and her podcast. You need to learn more. You want to learn more. This is a place to go. Kristen, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And good luck in this year and beyond.
This is great.
Thanks for listening to Dank Discussions. We are so grateful for each and every one of you. Please make sure you subscribe and leave a review. We want to continue making dank content you want to hear, so give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calacan.com. That's grow@calacann.com. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our latest updates.